It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. I've always tried new ways to start this podcast, and I never think of any. So that's how I'm starting it. Welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kirk Frankham. I have the privilege of putting this podcast together. I want to give a shout out to the many individuals that helped me accomplish this. Now, if you haven't jumped on to our newsletter yet, please do. I'm getting a lot of people on that list, and we try for a weekly newsletter. Sometimes life gets busy. You know, I've got all sorts of things on my task list I got to do, but I love every moment I spend with Leading LDS and the things I learn, and hopefully there's things that other people learn. I get emails from individuals that are so helpful and give me new ideas and new things I can apply to my teaching. So it's really this group and community of individuals who are teaching each other how to be better leaders, and I know I have definitely benefited from this resource and from this community. So thank you. Today, I want to talk about a very interesting part of the Latter-day Saint culture and as it applies to leaders. And that is this meeting that happens once a month. I'm recording this on a Monday, on November 3rd, 2014. Yesterday was Fast and Testimony meeting, where once a month we invite members to fast and then take the time for the sacrament meeting to open the mic, as some my brother jokingly calls it, Open Mic Sunday, where we say, there's the mic, let's see what you say. And it can get a little interesting at times and a little quiet at other times. So it's a very fascinating part of our religion. But it's so needed and necessary, because testimony is really the heart of our belief. And the concept of testimony is so much enriched through this meeting of Fast and Testimony meeting. Now, a lot of bishoprics love this meeting because it's one Sunday a month that they don't have to jump through the hoops and do the gymnastics of getting speakers for the meeting. And those that have ever sought out speakers for a sacrament meeting, it can be pretty tricky, and I'm sure there's some future posts and podcast episodes we can do about that. And if anybody has ideas on how to approach that, that'd be very interesting. But I want to talk specifically about this meeting, the first Sunday of each month, the Fast and Testimony meeting. And maybe as you leaders are hearing this, maybe some have presided over this meeting, you're thinking, oh, man, it's a tough one, because there's two ends of the spectrum. You either have, you know, the dead quiet of you looking at the congregation looking at you, and it's sort of a stare down of saying, okay, who's next? And gets to a point where you just want to say, come on, somebody, stand up. And maybe leaders out there have even stood and just invited specific people to stand. Nothing wrong with that. But it can be awkward at times. And then the other end of the spectrum is a different kind of awkwardness, where you get individuals who are so sincere and willing to share, but the content of their testimony is just, it's sort of off base. And maybe there's a few instances where it can be considered inappropriate, but typically if it's, it can be just off base, just off the mark of what they're talking about, where it's not really helping anybody. It's sort of just an open mic and they're taking advantage of it. You know, maybe somebody talking about their cats, somebody talking about their recent vacation, and they just kind of go on and on. We pray for them. And of course we would never discourage them from necessarily standing and sharing, but nonetheless, this, this awkwardness exists at times. So how do we handle this dynamic of whether it's silent or there's a line forming, usually in YSA wards? It's almost hard to get in, you know, a two-minute testimony because so many people are wanting to participate. But the reality is whoever is presiding that meeting, the presiding authority really owns the meeting. And I think more leaders can understand this better, because sometimes you feel like a meeting goes off the rails and, well, just get through it and hopefully it'll will end up and nobody will be too offended or nobody will be too embarrassed. But really, the presiding authority has a responsibility to guide and direct that meeting, even when members may not realize it, that that's happening. So I want to share with you a kind of a tactic I use that I've seen others use very effectively in starting a testimony meeting. So generally what happens, I'm sure that the traditional ward, the traditional bishopric, each member of the bishopric takes their turn. I know in my ward, it's each month a counselor or the bishop takes their turn in conducting that month's meetings, you know, doing announcements, announcing the prayers, songs, and just getting the pace of the meeting going. And so when it's the first Sunday, that counselor, usually after the sacrament is passed, they stand up, they then kick the meeting off with their testimony, and it's their responsibility to share a few thoughts of their testimony. Now, this is a much more pivotal point in the meeting than maybe many people realize, many leaders realize that are conducting. Some may conduct the meeting and they think, okay, I just got to share my testimony. I'm more than happy to share my testimony. I'll get through it and then open the meeting up to individuals who also want to share their testimony. But it's how you go about this that is really going to make a difference of the quality of the meeting going forward. Usually you have about 40 to 50 minutes that you're looking to fill of who knows what. And what that person needs to do, or that the conductor of the meeting needs to do at that point, at the end of their remarks, is really to create a spirit of invitation. Your words of testimony invite the spirit of the Holy Ghost. You know, it may, that will definitely help in having others stand and share similar thoughts that produce that spirit. And then the counselor or bishop may say at the end, you know, we now invite you, brothers and sisters, to share your testimony, yada, yada, yada. And they will then sit down and say, this is when we'll end, and then it's open for everybody. But we need to understand that there are certain state of minds that people are in when they come to a fast and testimony meeting. Okay, there are those individuals that are almost looking forward to it. They love the chance to stand up and speak and share their testimony, and that's great. And so they're almost planning on it, and they know what they're going to say, and there they go, great. Now, sometimes those individuals are in short supply, and that ends up in silence. So there's also individuals who you can pay them to stand in a testimony meeting. There could be angels called down from heaven, and they will still not stand. That's how powerful the fear of public speaking can be. Okay, and that's fine. You know, it's not required by any means. And then there's the people that kind of show up. The kids are dressed. They're frazzled. They finally sit down in their seat, and they think, oh my goodness, I didn't even remember it was Fast Sunday. And here I am with a full stomach of French toast and orange juice, and I didn't even think twice to fast, let alone think if am I going to even stand and bear my testimony, right? And so it's up to you as the person conducting the meeting to kind of stir some ideas in their mind that maybe will inspire them to stand and share. So generally when it's my turn to conduct the meeting, obviously I give a thoughtful testimony that's hopefully contributing the spirit of the meeting. And usually there's a certain topic in my remarks. And so near the end, I remind the congregation that this meeting is for them to stand and share their testimony. And if they don't have anything that they know to share, maybe stand and talk about temples. Maybe stand and talk about how the temple in your life has made a difference and made your spiritual health increase. Maybe talk about the blessing the priesthood is in your life, whether you're a sister or brother and a recent blessing you received, and you can talk about that. Now, what this is doing is you're standing there challenging or inviting them to stand and share. Those people start, the wheels in their head start to spin. They start to think, you know what, I wasn't sure what to say now, but now I probably go up and say that, share my perspective and feelings of testimony on that subject. And it's amazing what this does. Every time I've done this, and I've been doing this for at least over a year each time, it's my turn to conduct that meeting, people stand up and say, you know what, I'm glad that the bishop mentioned XYZ because I had some thoughts on that. And it really shifts the feeling and the spirit in the meeting, and it really contributes to an effective meeting. I cannot think of a time where this didn't work. And so as you're struggling with really getting people to stand, it may be because how you are kicking the meeting off and what you're saying in those moments. Now, another angle I want to maybe share some thoughts with you in regards to this meeting is not only inviting those that believe and that are stalwart, you know, testimony-filled members, but to not forget the doubter in the crowd, because, you know, sometimes individuals will stand and they'll share a testimony using a lot of LDS cliches, things like, I know with every fiber of my being, or the gospel's validity is a fact in my life. I know without a shadow of a doubt. Fill in the blank after that. Okay, and these are great. And sometimes I almost worry about these individuals who have not left even a little bit of room for doubt, because it's through doubt that we discover new information and we learn and we progress and have a deeper testimony of the church, and it also protects us from being blindsided from, you know, internet facts or things we didn't know that should be considered that may throw us off our testimony rocker. And so when individuals stand and use these terms, it's fine. I mean, I would never discourage that. It's a way of speaking, and that's just how some people speak, and that's fine. But I often worry about what it does for that individual who's just not quite there yet, who's still considering and doubting where they stand in relation to the doctrines of the LDS Church. And even in 1 Corinthians, Paul encourages the saints, you know, with unbelieving spouses to not put them away. And I think we can relate that to our wards, that even if individuals have doubts, we're so glad they're at church, and we shouldn't put them away or discourage them from sharing. And so even yesterday in my meeting, someone stood, it was a youth, and they said, you know, I'm totally not sure about the gospel yet, but I'm getting there. And I thought, man, what a great phrase. So many people could relate to that, that maybe are struggling with their own doubts. And so as we give opportunity for people to know that it's okay to stand and say, you know what, I don't believe with every fiber of my being, and I'm not sure where I'm at, but I'm here today, and I want to learn, and I want to know for myself. That can be an inspiring message and draw additional encouragement and support from ward members as they hear that. And so, as President Packer has taught, a testimony is found in the bearing of it. And so we need to give maybe those that are doubting or on the pathway to discovering their own testimony, we need to give them opportunity and make sure they're welcome. And so many times in these meetings, as I've kicked it off with my testimony, near the end I say, I realize that everybody here doesn't have a full testimony about every gospel principle, and I want you to know that's okay. We're here to help you get there. And you should feel free to stand as well and let us know what you do believe in. If you can't confidently talk about Joseph Smith in full believing words, then talk about something you can, the existence of God, of Jesus Christ. This mic is still open to them as well. So that has just been my approach in starting a fast and testimony meeting, and I've really gotten some beneficial results from it. And I'm not saying it's going to work for everybody, but if you're kind of not sure what to do, with your fast and testimony meeting, or you dread it every month, maybe try that out. Maybe kick them off with a specific topic and direction, and then a challenge to stand and share regardless of why they're there or whether they're fasting, whatever it may be. Now, I'd be interested to hear about some of your ideas. How have you approached fast and testimony meeting? Any tactics or things that you've done to make a better meeting and to encourage others to stand and share testimony that will really add to the spirit of the meeting, so that everybody leaves knowing that their time was well spent, their spirit's full, and they're ready to build upon their testimony? So go ahead and visit us at leadinglds.com. Go to this post where this podcast is listed under the title Improving Fast and Testimony Meeting, What is the Leader's Role? And leave a comment, share, and let us know what you think. And it'd be great to get a dialogue going with others to see what others are doing to improve that meeting, because it really can be an amazing meeting. And many people consider it their most favorite meeting out of the month is fast and testimony meeting. Until next time, be a leader, not a calling.